It's sure been great to be here. Janine and I have really enjoyed it. We've enjoyed your friendship. It's great to get around the body of Christ. You know, we're going to get this forever. I am so thankful for that. I look at Adam and Eve in the garden before they fell and walking with God, and I wonder how sweet was that fellowship. Walking with God in a way that God intended for us to have a relationship with Him. I look at that and then I think about what it's going to be like for us. Wow. We're not going to be under the curse anymore. We're not going to be dealing with a sin nature. We're not going to be dealing with a world system that's contrary to God. We're not going to be dealing with all the frustrations that we deal with in our life because there's a spiritual battle going on continually, and we find that all around us and sometimes in us as we seek to walk with the Lord. It's going to be over one of these days. Doesn't that sound good? We look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And because of that, what manner of persons ought we to be in all conduct? Wow. I think it's important for us to keep a sight out there future because that helps us now to live according to way how God would want us to live. I want to do this tonight. I want to do two things. First of all, I'm going to share tonight my basic attitude of how God has taught me to live my life. And this is where I want to be, and want to continue in my walk with my God. But before I do that, I want to talk about Philippians 1:6. I brought it up this week that it was a verse that was in my high school, that when I was in high school, this was a verse that became very important to me. It's been important to me all my life. How many of you know Philippians 1:6 by heart? Let's quote it if you can. And if you can't quote it, maybe you can look it up and read it with me. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to perform that. But there's a word in there that I really like because it's a word that you and I need. It's the word confident. I remember I was at a camp one year and the director said, how can we teach these kids to have confidence? And I said, you don't need to worry about teaching kids to have confidence. They have confidence in something. I remember as a six-year-old, I went to school, I had confidence in my dad. That soon waned. You'll hear why in just a minute. He told me when I was a little boy that my brains were in my feet. I went to school in first grade and told them that that's where our brains are. I never thought about somebody who lost a leg. It never crossed my mind that they lost half a brain or something. I didn't think, you know. But I had confidence in my dad. I found that confidence was misplaced. He liked to do little things like that sometimes. A misplaced confidence becomes pride. But a confidence in God is faith. Some people will actually equate confidence with pride and think that Christians should never, ever have confidence like that. They should never be, you know, so strong and so forceful and so standing up so secure and everything, because we should be humble and we should be self-abased and we should be, they have a misconception. A confidence in God is right. But if you have a confidence in your ability, then you've got a problem.
I know that because when I played basketball, there were nights when I could make every shot just about. I remember one night I hit 9 3-pointers in a row. That was a good night. I've had games just following something like that where I can't even make a layup. I don't know why. It's the same basket. It's the same ball. I'm still playing on the same. I think, yeah, I had the same shoes on. I did change socks, so maybe that's the problem. No. What? You don't know why it doesn't work. The Lord has a purpose for both. There's a reason you can make the shot one night and not the next. God has a purpose in what He's doing. There's times when you can get through traffic and you just hit every light right. Everything works. You get there in just an incredible time. Then the next time, you're doing the same time frame. You're going down the same road. And it seems like you hit every light and you're 15 minutes later than you were the time before. Well, I really know how to hit these lights. No. Confidence must be in God. Because if we put it in ourselves, we're going to lose a lot real fast. You're going to wake up to reality. You know what? You're not so great. In and of ourselves, we have nothing to be confident in. But in God, we have everything. And I like that. And it is not pride when you and I walk around with a determination, with a confidence, with a diligence, and an endurance. We're going to stick with God, and He's going to take care of us, and I'm sure of that. He's still good. I don't care how bad it gets around me. I don't care how bad it seems in the world today. He's still God. He still knows what's going on, and I'm confident He's going to take care of me. Now, that's not a bad thing. Somebody said to our boys one time, it was one of their best friends, and they said, your dad is just so confident about everything. Your dad is just so, looks to the good side of everything. And he put it in kind of a gross way. He said, your dad could eat a moose turd pie. And I thought, that's terrible. But he would say it was the best moose turd pie he ever ate. You know, that's terrible. It's like in Alaska, you get one of those coffee cups. They have down in the bottom of them two moose droppings. And they're in this type of stuff, so it's acrylic, so you can actually pour coffee in and drink off. And it said, may your glass cup always be two turds full. It's a great one, you know. Buy that mug, I'll tell you. That'd be... Our attitude will sometimes determine how far we go. There are Christians who are so much and so busy putting themselves down that God cannot lift them up. Every time He tries or does something in their life to encourage, they say, well, that's not real. They're just saying that because they want to be nice to me, or they're just trying to do... There's no encouragement in their life. They won't let anybody encourage them. They won't even let God encourage them. They just want to be down. They just want to be just, I just want to live life miserable. I don't want to have any confidence. I don't want to have any assurance in my life. And it just seems like that's the way they want to live. But God wants us to be confident. And He wants us to be driven. If you want to see how that works out, it's in the book of Philippians, and this is what I really like about Paul and his desire and his drive. It's in Philippians chapter 3. This is one of my favorite chapters to go along with Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you the very desires that you ought to have. Be confident in the Lord. It says, commit your will unto the Lord. That has the idea of rolling up your will in God's will. And He'll guide your paths. He'll build your life. He's going to put things together for you. Commit your way unto Him. Then He says, trust also in Him, because you're not going to commit to somebody you don't trust. God knows us, doesn't He? We've got to have faith in God. We've got to have confidence in God, because you will never let Him control your life. You'll never let Him lead you. You'll never let Him direct you. You'll never live in surrender to God if you don't have confidence in Him. As you look at Philippians chapter 3, he says this in verse 3, for we are the workmanship, or we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. Well, now we know where our confidence shouldn't be. I like to put it this way. I even equate that to my own mind. That's why I need the mind of Christ. That's why it's so important I see things God's way. That's why it's so important we are students of the Word of God. That's why it's so important we get the Word of God in us, because I can't even trust my own thinking. I perceive something, and I can perceive it totally wrong, can't you? You look at a situation, and you say, oh, that's happening there. And you misconstrue that situation one way or another, because you didn't see every aspect of it. I do a lot of counseling or consulting with churches that are having issues. I don't do it a lot. I'm glad I don't, but I do it some. And when I go into a situation, I tell them immediately, I'm not going to see this from every angle. You're not seeing it from every angle, but God is. We want to look at this not the way you see it, not the way I see it, but we want to look at this the way God sees it. So how does God see me? Where's my confidence? I can't have confidence in my own self. I must have confidence in God. I must have confidence in the Holy Spirit. I must have confidence that God's going to lead me right. He's going to direct my life. He's going to put into it and take out of it what should be and shouldn't be. God does that. And Paul's saying this, that, you know, I have no confidence in the flesh. That's us. That should be us. I'm not trusting even my own thinking. Because I don't see things right sometimes. Do you? I remember I told you about the guy that was sitting in the back of the church. Maybe I shared it this week, but he was having stomach troubles, and I thought it was a spiritual problem. Thought he was going to come forward in the invitation time. And I was so excited. Kept preaching hard, and, you know, he didn't come forward. And then he was the first guy to meet me at the door in the back. And he said, Pastor, I got to get going home, because I came to church this morning having some stomach trouble, and it really got worse during the service. Now, what I thought was a spiritual condition and the contortions on his face and all the things going on that he was really under conviction was nothing more than a stomach ache. God has rebuked me many times in my thinking. I remember a guy who was kind of contentious in the church, came to me right before the service. It's a great time for a guy to come up to you. He's a little bit contentious. And he says, Pastor, I need to talk to you after the service today. That's super. Okay. I'm going through the whole service thinking of every conversation we've had in the last 6 months. What did I say? What did I do? I'm trying to think, because I know he's got something. And you know what the Lord did to me? He rebuked me again. The guy came to me after the service. He says, say, my wife and I want to take you and your family out for dinner today. Would that work out for you guys? Smack. You think you know the answer. Well, the Bible even says over and over again in 2 Timothy that there's foolish and unlearned questions. Avoid. How about an unlearned question? Somebody's motive. I know what you're thinking. No, you don't. That's a foolish and unlearned question, and all it's going to do is gender strife. Don't go there. Don't go there. Those types of things, we do it all the time because we have confidence in our abilities to understand. Oh, God says if you love them with God's kind of love, you're going to think the best, not the worst of them. You're going to look for the best in people, not the worst. You know, I find it very easy to love people when I look at them that way. It's very easy to love people. I'm looking for your best, and it's great. I'm looking what God's doing. It's wonderful. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior? You're a creation of God. You're a new creature made by God.
Wow, I love it.
What of you? I'm seeing you the way God says I ought to see you. Sure does make a difference, doesn't it? How we get along. We have all these different things that we take confidence in and of ourselves. But that's not what he's really going to go to in this passage. He's saying this because this is the basis of his declaration. He says in verse 4, I might have confidence in the flesh. If anybody thinks he has something to trust in, I got a lot more than you guys do. That's what he's saying. I could go this way. If you want to look at somebody who could go this way, I could, but I don't. Here's what I do. Look what he says in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I found them worthless. I found them worthless. And then he goes on and he says in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's what I want. God working in me and God working through me. But he puts it this way in verse 10, and I love verse 10, and I've spoken to this subject a little bit this week as we've gone along, but here's what my life has come into a microcosm of. This is what I want to focus on. This is what I want to be a part of. I want to experience Christ every day in my life, all through the day. Verse 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And this is not the no because you've studied him in books. This is the no because you've experienced Christ in your life. Not just in salvation, but you walk with him. And he describes it in the next few verses. This is why I like this passage, is because the next few verses describe this walk. Look with me, if you would, at the verses. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, what's he talking about? I'm going to get there one of these days. I'm going to die. Going to be with the Lord. That's going to happen. I'm going to get there. But he says, not as though I've already attained. I'm not there yet. I'm not dead yet. He says this, either we're already perfect. I've not been made complete yet. It's not done yet. God's not done with me yet. But he says this, but I follow after. Here's a drive. Here's what Paul's working toward. This is what he's working on. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I love that idea. I like to put things in ways that we can understand them. And for some reason, we understand money quite well. If God said, I have $1,000 a day for you, and that's what you can experience in your day, is that $1,000 every day. There are so many believers that look at that, what they're saying here in this passage, and say, you know what, God, I'm happy with $100 a day. I don't need that $1,000. Now, they may be humble. They may say, you know what? That's awfully nice of you, God, to give me all of that. But, you know, God, I'm content with $200 a day. Don't ask me to take that $1,000. It's like this. God has given a life for you every day. He has something for you. He has something for you all through that day. He wants you to walk with Him and experience all of this that He set before you. It'll be people you talk to. It'll be people that you have an opportunity to encourage. It'll be a witness here and there. It'll be whatever God's doing. Be time in the Word. It'll be all this that God has set before you in your day. And Paul's saying here, I want to apprehend everything that God has set before me in every day. I want that $1,000. I want everything He has in every day. This is His drive. I want to experience what God has as I walk with Him. Now, I've said earlier this week, and I said it this morning to the kids in chapel, that when we sin, we lose. Why? Because you're not experiencing what God would have had for you if you'd have done what was right. You've missed out. You've been robbed of this special life, this special things that God would have for you. Why? Because you've accepted something less. Something less than what God has. That's what Paul's talking about. I want to apprehend everything that God has for me. That's his drive and desire. Look at the passage again. Look at verse 12, the last part. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That I might attain these things. That I might walk this walk. That I might experience this experience that he set before me. I don't want to settle for less. I want it all. This is his drive. This is his desire. This is his heartbeat. And as you go into the passage, look at verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet because I'm still alive. There's still more for me to experience. Now that ought to give us joy for every one of us who are still alive. If you're here and you're not, then you've already gotten to that point where you've attained. You've finished your course. But if you're here and you're alive, you've not finished your course. That means God still has purpose for your life. He still has a reason for you being here and experiencing because you've not apprehended everything He has for you to apprehend yet. There's more to attain. There's more that He's going to do in you. There's more He's going to do through you. And that drive ought to be there. That's what He's talking about. And he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now, if you were to narrow your life down to one thing, what would it be? This one thing I do. This is what I'm all about. This is my drive. This is my desire. I like what he says because I love it. In my own heart, this is my drive. Forgetting those things which are behind. And I look back at all these things and, you know, some people have had some terrible pasts. You may have committed terrible sin. You may have had some severe problems. You may have dealt with some hard things. You may have had other sin against you. You may have been abused. You may have had all these other things. I don't know what was in your past. But I'm not going to allow my past to control my present. My past does not run me. Jesus Christ does. God does. He's in control. He's putting together my life now. And where I'm going. And what I'm going to do. Forgetting those things which are behind. But I want to go a step further. You can also remember those things which are behind are things like what? Great days. Well, I remember back when 30 years ago when we had this great victory and all these things were happening and it was just a wonderful time, and we're still living in the past. With all the great accomplishments of the past. Paul says, I'm putting all that stuff behind me. I'm not going there. I'm heading to the future. I'm heading to the future. He says this, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Here's his drive. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is that prize? It's been stated several different ways, but I think the passage dictates what it is. What is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Some have said that is that we might receive that well done, my good and faithful servant. Possible. I think that's a good thing. I think that should be a drive. We want to please God. But in the passage, he just got finished saying, my drive, my desire is that I might apprehend everything that which I've been apprehended by God for. And you see, every one of us, this is different. He's going to put things in your life that he doesn't put in mine. Your past is different than mine. Your presence right now is different than mine. We have different functions in the body. But he has a life for each of us. And he has much for each of us. And we ought to be driven to experience it. Because we know Christ and we want to experience Christ every day in our life. I want what he wants. I want to apprehend everything he's apprehended me for. And I like that of Paul, because I really think when he comes here and he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that you could really say, this is the mark, the $1,000 a day, I want it. Everything God has for me, I want it. I don't want just a little bit. I want all of it. I'm not going to take just a little bit. But now I have to go back to where we've been going all week. What is spirituality? It's all about this relationship. And we talked tonight to start with, it's about confidence. Where is God going to lead you? He's going to lead you right into the path, right into the steps of every moment of every day that you would apprehend everything he's apprehended you for. Isn't he? Do you have confidence of God that he will lead you correctly, rightly, for you? I like that because there's several reasons. One reason is, it's not up to me to tell you what to do. So I'm not gonna. I can encourage you. I can help you with things that might help you in your walk with the Lord. I can do things like that. But I can't tell you where God's gonna lead you next. I can't tell you how he's gonna work in your life coming a week from now. But I can encourage you to know God in such a way that you know he's leading you. He's working in you. He's building you. He's challenging you. He's working in areas. And you can have confidence in your God that he will do that. And that faith is undetermined. Or nope, nothing's going to destroy. Undeterred, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. Nothing is going to turn you away from that confidence in your God. I just believe God will do that. You know, it's really a good thing in ministry, and Pastor, you know it as well as I do. It's a good thing in ministry because it's not up to us to make it happen. It's up to God to do that, and we see God leading you and working through you, and he's going to build the body, and each of us have our place in that. And I'm confident he'll do it. The key is that we must be walking with Him. We must be experiencing this. We must, and I say it over and over again, we must have a drive and a desire to experience everything God has for us. That $1,000 a day. I want what God wants. I want it all. I don't want to get to heaven and find out I could have had a lot more. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that, you know, this could have happened if you'd have gone this direction, like I was trying to lead you. I don't want to get to heaven and say, you know what, you sure missed out. I had all this for you, but yet you were going your own way, thinking your own things. You weren't following me. Wow. I kind of think that's what the Bema seat's going to be like a little bit. Yeah, it's going to be a dispensing of rewards, but you know what? It's going to be a time of sorrow too. You mean I could have had that? And I settled for this? What a miserable life I had compared to what I could have had if I'd have just walked with God and sought Him and been driven and wanted Him that I might know Him, experience Christ in every area of my life. Absolutely surrendered to His will, whatever it looked like. I settled for this. That's the difference, I think, between Paul, between many people who love the Lord and are driven and going on and confident in their God, and they're seeing Him working, and Christians who are just trying to, well, we're just trying to get by as best we can. You know, it's a sin-sick world, and oh, it's getting worse, and it's getting worse. My God's going to win. I read the last chapter. Not only is my God going to win, but it is going to get worse and worse. But I like what it says in 2 Peter. He knows to deliver, how to deliver the godly out of judgment. What am I worried about? I'm going to walk with Him. He's going to take care of me. Oh, what, somebody's going to kill me? I'm going to die for my faith? Oh, that's going to be rough. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord? Yeah. There's a lot of people being martyred for their faith right now. You may be asked to. You may be asked to suffer some great things. He said that I might know Him, power of His resurrection, fellowship of His suffering. You may be called upon by God to suffer in ways that you could never imagine. Can you be content? Can you say, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want. Willing to go through whatever you want me to go through. Because I know that all things work together for good, according to your purpose. You're going to put it together. My life's yours, Lord. Use me as you see fit. Willing to go through and be whatever God wants you to be. You may have to suffer. You may have to put your life on the line. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I know that's what God's allowing in these days, and it's going to get worse instead of getting better. I'm really hoping for a revival in the United States. I think there's a possibility of it. I'm watching thought. I'm looking at things, and there's a desire for relationship. And we of all people have the privilege of sharing the best relationship anybody can have. Flawed, fallible, with infallible, perfect, loving God. That is the highest relationship any human being can have. Every other relationship we have is, whether we like it or not, my wife married a flawed husband. I'm fallible. But don't feel too sorry for her. She's fallible too. Every other relationship, every relationship we have here. I mean, every one of us make mistakes. Every one of us are flawed. Every one of us deal with the old nature. Every one of us deals with sin. But by God's grace, we get victory. God's grace, we're growing. But God, when He deals with us, He deals with us with a perfect love, a perfect righteousness. He will never do it wrongly. That's the difference between the God of the Bible and Allah. Wow. There's a big difference. We can have confidence in our God. And not only that, we can be close to our God. But I like verse 15 as we finish. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. Whoops, I'm reading verse 16. Verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If you're mature, and I'm talking to people that know the Lord, that are mature believers, this ought to be your drive. This ought to be your mindset. This ought to be that which pushes you. This ought to be where you do your diligence. I want to know Christ. I want to experience everything you have in this day, God. You and me, God, let's go. Whatever you have, I want it. I want you. I want that life that only you can give. And that's a drive. You can't make that in people. God does that. And you need to have that in you. And it comes from knowing Him, a desire in your heart to walk with Him. And then you start doing it. Boy, you don't want to go anywhere else. You know how great it is. But I like this verse because he says in verse 15, you need to be this minded, thus minded, as many as be mature, perfect, and if in anything you be otherwise minded. What? You mean I could miss something? Yeah. But what does he say? God shall reveal even this unto you. The Holy Spirit will show you. If you miss it, you say, you know what? I'm going this direction, and I believe this is God's will, and I believe this is what God wants. And I'm going to step out. I'm going to head this direction, and I just know this is what God wants. And I have this purpose and this desire and this drive. And you and me, God, let's go. And I'm open. I'm subject to, if God wants to put a roadblock there, change my direction. I don't care what you want to do, God. I'm going to follow you. And you, I want to hear you, God. There are so many people waiting to hear Him that they never step. When really, if you're walking with God, He said, if you miss it, if you go a different direction, I will show you. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you know that? How do you know that? Well, He said it right here. But how do you know that personally? Where does that come from? Where does that trust come from? It comes from a confidence in your God that He will lead you. He'll direct your paths. And if you don't have that confidence, then you probably won't step out in faith. You probably won't go for everything God has for you. I need to be a little bit reserved here. I need to hold back a little bit just in case it doesn't work out the way I think it'll work out. I'm going for it. I'm going to press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to apprehend everything God has apprehended me for. I want Him to work in my life every day the way He wants to set things before me, the way He wants to do. I want Him to organize my steps, the steps of a good man order the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the hand of the Lord upholdeth him. And I'll tell you what, that's nice when that happens too. There are times when we're going to come against struggles. There's going to be times when we're going to have hard things, but God's right there. He'll guide your steps. He'll direct your paths. Do we have that confidence in our God? That's the base attitude of my life. Now, am I perfect in it? No, but by God's grace, I want to keep doing better and better and better, and I want to keep going. And that's the attitude I want. That's the attitude I have. You and me, God, let's go. And I believe with every ounce of my being, He will direct my paths. And if I mess something up, if I step a wrong step, He will show me. Am I wrong in having that confidence in my God? I don't believe so. Not at all. This is my God. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God that I trust, and this is the God that I have the privilege of sharing. He knows what we need. He knows how to build our lives. He knows what you need in your life. I don't want anything to rob me of it. Sin, we take care of that. We deal with sin. Other directions, God will take care of that. I need to follow, pay attention, listen. He'll do that. If I step out of the way with a step, if in any otherwise minded, He'll show me that. An absolute surrender of yourself in every area, every part, your total being to Him and His will. I love it. I love it. It takes the pressure away. And people think you're pretty silly when you say, you know what, I'm just confident God's going to build. Yeah, that's sure an easy answer. No, it's not easy. I just need to keep walking with them. It's the best answer. And in one sense, it's very easy because it's not up to me to make it happen. He does, and I just can't help but give Him the glory for what He's doing every day. Look how He sets things in order. Look how He puts life together. To Him be the glory. To Him be the praise. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to glorify Him. Everything. Wow. Is that your life? It's a privilege to live that life. You've not apprehended, I've not apprehended everything yet. I've not attained, but by God's grace, when I wake up in the morning, one of my things I do is I wake up, I usually open one or two eyes, and I simply say this, I'm still on the earth. Some mornings I have to wake up and look around, think for a minute, where am I? Those of you that have traveled a lot know what I'm talking about. I don't even know where I am some mornings when I wake up. That's a scary thought. What state am I in? Besides the state of confusion. I wake up and I see, yep, I'm still on the earth. God, I guess that means you have more for me here. You and me, God, let's go. What's next? What's next? Let's go. You still have more for me. Let's go. Simple, but life impacting. My life is not ministry. If God took us out of missionary evangelism tomorrow, I don't know, He could, I mean, that's up to Him, but if He did,
He'd have something else for me. That's how confident I am of God. He's done that all my life. He keeps directing my path. Won't He do that tomorrow? You go home and find out you get a pink slip from your job. Well, God's got a purpose in that. Do you think He's still going to provide tomorrow like He did yesterday? Or did He change? Confidence in Him. My life is not ministry. My life is not my job. My life is Christ. He's my life. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, and put this phrase in your mind and just meditate on it, just run it through your head. Who is our life? Think about that for 6 months. Just dwell on that phrase when you're in your quiet time. And when you're just thinking, when you're driving down the road or something, just dwell on that phrase. Christ, who is my life? Change your life. That's what He's talking about. That I might know Him, power of His resurrection, fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, that I might apprehend that for which I've been apprehended. I press toward His high calling. I want the $1,000 a day, don't you? Or are you settling for 200? That's good enough for me. I got enough of You, God. 200's enough. I don't need more than that. You've missed it. You've missed it. You need them all. That's where you're going to experience life and life more abundant that God intends. I want it all. I hope and pray that's your drive. Hope and pray that's your desire. You say, you know what? That sounds awfully prideful. I've had people tell me that. No, it's confidence in my God. That's not misplaced. It's not misplaced when it's in our God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. I love this portion of Your word. I could share it every day because it's a great attitude of life. And I love how even Paul says is, if you're mature, that you ought to think this way. Lord, we want to think right. We want to have the mind of Christ. We don't have confidence, even in our own mind, our own thinking. We want to see, we want our thinking to be lined up with Your word. We want the Holy Spirit to work in us. We want to have the mind of Christ, and we have that because we know You. You've given us that. I love Your word, Lord. You have so many precious things You tell us. It's just so precious to see how You put it all together. You prove Yourself over and over again. And You just put it there simply for us. Thank You, God. And Lord, we can have confidence in You, and it's not misplaced. We can be like the psalmist who said that You are his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything else. And then he describes all the great things You do. He's bragging on You, God. And You're worthy of all that and much more. Because You are holy, You are just, You are wonderful. You do guide our steps. You do love us. You do comfort us. You do so much, God. Anything good in our life has come from You, God. Help us to recognize who You are and what You're doing. Help us to be greater students of Your word, to know You better. Help us, God, to have a drive and a desire to experience all that You set before us, the way You want us to live, all the things You want us to do in each day. And God, may we just walk with You and You'll lead us right. We might experience and we might apprehend everything that You've
apprehended us for, that we might run the race, finish the course. And Lord, we do look forward to that day when we'll be with you and the race is finished. And may we truly hear that, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," because we've simply walked with you. Thank you, God, for the life you give, even here on this earth. And Lord, I look forward to life eternal with you, and what a privilege that'll be. Thank you, God, for being our God. And we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. We thank you for this week. Continue to work as only you can, and may we be attentive to what you're doing as you work in us and through us. And we give you the glory for it, knowing you're the source. And we give you the praise in Christ's precious name. Amen.